Joining us in our Touchpoints Rehab interview chair this morning, Dr. Jorge Aguilar-Zanata. He is a psychiatrist from Western Connecticut Medical Group and is also affiliated with Danbury and New Milford Hospitals. You've heard us this morning, and it's the lead story on the front page of the Hartford Current. Talk about John Skipper resigning as president of ESPN because of a substance addiction. That said, what is addiction? When we say the word addiction, what does that mean? Dr. Aguilar-Zanata, good morning and welcome to Brad and Dan. I'm Dan Lovallo.
Thank you. Very nice to meet you.
What does it mean? When we say addiction, what is the exact definition of addiction?
Well, addiction is a multidimensional definition. It's basically when you're using a substance in such a manner that starts interfering with many different facets of your life. Many people associate the quote-unquote addicted person to somebody, you know, as we might see, you know, maybe a homeless person really struggling to, you know, take care of themselves. But it's a large spectrum of incapacity. There are people that really don't have a major impact in their family or work life, but they struggle with other facets, and that's what we can look at as addiction.
Substance addiction, does the substance have to be something that requires a certain age to purchase, or could you be addicted, for example, to fast food?
Oh, it could be anything that really will begin to break down your functioning, whether it be at a social level, at a physical level, or even as a in your employment. It can be any substance of the sort. You could be addicted to excessive vices such as food or any other substances that we might not consider to be illegal or harmful.
And then, of course, there are the illegal substances out there, such as drugs, correct?
That is correct.
Can we overcome this substance addiction?
Well, I think that this has existed for many years, and I think it will continue to exist. However, it's how we manage and provide services to people that struggle with addiction. We really have to start thinking about destigmatizing this illness, because it really is an illness that has a physiological basis. We now tend to refer the term addiction as a use disorder, that rather than an addiction. It's less labeling, and it also helps people that really struggle be able to get the help that they need, so that they don't feel that they're being labeled in a derogatory manner. A use disorder is not something that reflects the character of a person, but rather it's a true physiological illness.
Does treatment of substance addiction require a lifetime of attention?
Now, that's without a doubt. It really does, and it really does involve a long-term commitment to maintain a level of sobriety or a level of maintenance of certain behaviors through moderation management, or whether there's a maintenance such as methadone maintenance or suboxone maintenance that sometimes can be for many, many years. But it really does involve a lifelong journey.
Well, that was going to be my next question. Does it require taking a substance in order to treat substance addiction?
That's a controversial subject. I do understand that. However, we do know that in the literature, people, especially with opiate use disorders, tend to perform better in terms of quality of life measures if they're involved in a maintenance program such as methadone or suboxone. But again, I do respect other people's views that you need to be completely clean of any central nervous system active substance to be considered a quote-unquote non-addict. But I think we need to be careful how we label people and how we really obtain the care that we need to obtain to be able to function and live a healthy lifestyle.
Talking with Dr. Jorge Aguilar-Zanata, psychiatrist from Western Connecticut Medical Group, also affiliated with Danbury and New Milford Hospitals. Dr. Aguilar-Zanata, you've got a high-profile individual like the president of ESPN, Connecticut-based ESPN, who comes out and announces he's resigning because of substance addiction. Is that going to help other people, perhaps, who are addicted but are afraid to come out and admit they're addicted?
I think so. I think it really sets a very brave example and a very necessary example to many people that struggle with this because, again, there are many different types of people that suffer with a use disorder. The National Institute of Health has broken down certain subcategories of people that struggle with use disorder. There's young adult subtypes, there's antisocial subtypes, intermediate familial subtypes, and of course we have the functional subtype, which is approximately 20% of individuals that struggle, for example, with an alcohol use disorder. Again, this is a large number, but we need to remember that it's not a one-size-fits-all type of demographic. Addiction, as we know on a daily basis, or the jargon used, does not discriminate. It'll go from Main Street to Wall Street and everything in between, and it can be very devastating. But I do applaud people that do fit the criteria for the functional subtype to really reach out and get the care that they need. And I really applaud that for people that take that initiative and that are very highly functional.
You mentioned that it cuts across all demographic lines, but is there a particular demographic where this substance addiction may be growing in numbers?
That's a very good question. I think that it is available to many categories and many demographics, and I don't think that there is one in particular. However, it is very alarming that we do see very young people in their early adulthood years or their late adolescents that are really struggling with very serious substances such as opiates.
And obviously, we see just the use of opiates, and that's a subject for another day. But are people who are substance addicted good, for example, at covering up that addiction so that maybe their coworkers, or for that matter, even their family, don't know that that individual is addicted in some way?
You know, it's interesting. I don't think it's much of a cover up, but rather a perception. Many times, for example, the functional subtype of a use disorder individual will try to cope as best as they can. This is also tied to the stigma of how we view people with addiction. For example, if somebody goes to work and doesn't have any problems in their family life, but they come home and they're, you know, they're drinking 4 or 5 martinis. Yes, they do not meet that subtype or for criteria of not being able to meet their major obligations, for example, at work or family. But they're now meeting criteria for a binge disorder, or you know, it now affects other aspects of their life. So their family may not see that as a problem because you know you have this person that is able to go to work and they have no problem with the family unit. But they're struggling in other aspects, so they don't really believe that there's a problem at hand.
Doctor, before we wrap up our interview, anything else you'd like to add?
Yes, I think that people should be aware that there are services at your reach for anybody that's struggling with addiction. There's a really great website that I share with my patients here at Danbury Hospital in a very proactive way. You can go to ctaddictionservices.com. That's ctaddictionservices, one word, .com. And it will guide you to many different resources around all of the communities here in Connecticut. And it's also associated with the Department of Mental Health Services. And they have a phone number as well. I have it here, nifty, 1-800-563-4086. That's 1-800-563-4086.
Dr. Aguilar-Zanata, thanks very much for joining us this morning. You have a good day.
Thank you for this opportunity. Happy holidays.
Thank you. Take care. You too.